The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. So today we got a great question through email, one that I think will lead to a very interesting discussion. Here it is. Can or should a person be baptized if they have a live-in girlfriend or boyfriend? What an interesting inquiry. And one that Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar will get to in just a moment. But before they do, I'd like to remind you that you can reach us with your own questions through email. Our email is radio@faithalone.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have you signed up for our National Bible Conference yet? Well, I hope that you have, but if you haven't, there's still a little bit of time. You can go to faithalone.org, click on events, and we will look forward to seeing you there. Well, let's get right to that discussion with Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to the show. We're back in the studio, Sean and...
This is Bob. Bob, let me see. Yeah, Bob.
I think we're going to get an update of our equipment soon.
Oh, we are?
Yes, because we want to start taking phone calls, which we currently cannot do, other than like by just holding a phone up to the one of these
What's
microphones.
What's wrong with that? That's fine.
I think we're grown-ups, you know, we can do better than that. And also to have a third person come in. So thanks to your give and you guys supporting us, we're able to upgrade our equipment. I don't even think we paid for this equipment, right?
No, Danny, thank just lent you it so to much. Us. Yeah.
So we appreciate that. So we're going to be upgrading our equipment soon, and hopefully we'll have more guests, because I think that kind of makes the show a little bit better to have guests call in.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I like it.
All right, here's a question from Antonio. He says, does a Christian have to get married by the law of the land before he or she can be baptized in water? At first, I didn't know what this question was really asking, but I wonder if you're living, or, you know, can you get baptized while you're still maybe living with your boyfriend or girlfriend, maybe the question.
Yeah, and the answer would be sure, why not? I mean, my view is that baptism is a first step in discipleship. Matthew 28:19, the apostles are told, go therefore and make disciples. That's the main verb. And the way you'd make disciples is by baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you.
Right.
So you baptize, you teach. Well, a brand new Christian is one who may well not know that living with someone that you're not married to is sin. Mm-hmm. I remember the story that Bill Counts told me one time. He was a pastor of a Bible church in North Dallas.
Yeah.
And he said he had this young couple in his church, and they'd been in his church for almost a year, about 10 months, 11 months. And he happened to preach a sermon where the text mentioned immorality, mm-hmm. and he talked about if you're having sexual relations with someone you're not married to, that's sexual immorality. And so they came to him after the sermon. They said, Pastor, we came to faith in Christ here after a month or two being in the church. So it's been about 7 months or 8 months since we've come to faith. We had no idea that it was wrong to live together and not be married. What should we do?
Yeah.
And he said, well, there's two things you can do. Number one is you can stop sleeping together and stop living together and separate until such time as you would choose to be married. Or number two, you could just get married. And they said, oh, you mean that would solve the problem? And he goes, sure, I could marry you. And they're like, okay, we want to get married.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I mean.
But they had no idea with sin.
We are the, I mean, thanks to your generation, the sexual revolution generation.
You're looking at me?
I'm looking right at you. Not that you were participated in that, but I'm saying the sexual revolution generation. By the time my kids.
You're right.
By the time I was around and my kids. I mean, we're the counter-revolution. Christians are like the little communities of resistance where we're like, no, you need to be married to live together.
Right.
You know, you shouldn't have sex outside of marriage. We're the counterculture, because now the majority culture is you live in, you play house, you kind of give your relationship a tryout there for a year or two or three or four or five or six or seven or eight or nine. That's the norm nowadays. And so, yeah, churches need to stand up and say, no, we're... the family is God's plan for humanity. That's part of the structure of creation, and there are boundaries around the family, and there are moral norms and love norms around the family, and we need to protect it. And, yeah, frankly, we're different from the rest of the culture.
That's right. I mean, I remember I came to faith at the beginning of my senior year in college in September of 72. And this was not only the height of the Jesus movement,
yeah.
It was also the height of the sexual revolution.
Hippies.
And I was in Southern California, and the Haight-Ashbury was up by San Francisco. You know, there was all kinds of immorality going on at my college. It was a very bad situation. And I had been a work salvation person, so I wasn't involved in all of that. When I came to faith, I didn't get involved either, but it never made sense to me.
Right.
All this free love and all this stuff, I thought this was just animalistic. I mean, this was, it just seemed to me like we're not beasts. We're humans, and we control our impulses. And especially if we're Christians, when I came to faith, I knew that I had the power of the Holy Spirit within me. But coming to this question on can a person, do they have to get married before they can be baptized in water? No.
Okay, so yeah, on the surface, he's just asking, can only married people get baptized? And that's obviously no.
But your question, I think, is what he meant.
But I wonder,
if the person's living in sin, can they still be baptized? And my answer would be yes, because a person getting baptized is not saying, look, I've learned everything that's sin, and I'm following all the commands. Instead, what he's saying is, I want to follow Christ.
Yeah.
I'm confessing my faith in Christ,
yeah,
and I'm going to learn, and I want to learn.
You're going to learn about all the things that your life needs to, where it needs correction.
Right, and we don't exercise church discipline on a baby Christian.
See, now, I thought when you started answering the question, I thought you were saying you need to get that extramarital relationship settled before getting baptized. But now you're saying,
No,
you can get baptized away as your first step in discipleship, and then you'll deal with that as a second or third or fourth step.
Right. And like I say, this person quite possibly doesn't know. I mean, in our day, most people don't think sex outside of marriage is different than tennis.
I'm not into sports.
If you want, okay, forget tennis. They think of it as like reading a romance novel
I get what you're
reading
saying.
Reading a sci-fi
it's just,
book.
Yeah, it's just
or in your case, reading Kierkegaard
they
or
don't,
something.
Yeah, they don't think it's a moral issue. They just think, it's just for recreation.
It's just physical activity, yeah.
All right, here's a question from...
Uh-oh, you don't know?
This is a question from DeGogo. Probably, it's a UK email address. He says, at the end of a blog, I guess you had stated that we begin the Christian life in fellowship with God. If this is so, that means we're walking in the light and the blood of Christ will be cleansing us of our sins automatically. Consequently, there will be no need for any confession of sins. So walking in the light is one thing, a confession is another. One's like an autopilot and the other is like manual. So what is this walking in the light?
Okay, I'm going to call him Dag. I would say, Dag, that beginning the Christian life in fellowship with God does not mean that we begin the Christian life by walking in the light and we begin the Christian life by confessing our sins.
So you don't necessarily hit the ground walking.
Right. What it means is we don't have to confess all of our pre-salvation sins. We don't have to confess a single pre-salvation sin. The moment we believe in Christ for everlasting life, we experience forgiveness, fellowship forgiveness, and cleansing, so that at that moment, we are in fellowship with God. But now, if we don't learn to walk in the light and to confess our sins, it won't be long before we're out of fellowship with God.
Yeah, I mean, you can depart the light pretty quickly.
Right.
You know, you can believe on Sunday, and then on Monday, go out on a bender with the boys or, you know, start cheating on your wife or doing whatever.
Right.
Maybe you avoid church for the next few months for whatever reason, and you're out of the light, you know? So it's like it's not automatic.
Autopilot.
It's not autopilot. It's definitely up to you. God doesn't cause you to walk in the light.
1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We must confess our sins to have the forgiveness and the cleansing. It's not automatic. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. we must be walking in the light, which I take it means we sit under Christian instruction. So when I came to faith, the person, Warren Wilkie, that led me to faith in Christ taught me how to have what he called a quiet time. And he told me to spend about 5 or 10 minutes in the Word each day, and then another 5 or 10 minutes in prayer each day. And he also told me that I should be baptized, and he pointed me to a local church that he was going to, and I was baptized in that local church, and I started being a regular attender. And so walking in the light was I was hearing sound teaching on Sunday morning. Plus, I was in a Bible study on campus with Campus Crusade for Christ, and I was getting some instruction there.
Yeah.
But it wasn't automatic. I had to actually have someone help me. That's why we call this follow-up. When we come to faith in Christ, it's so helpful if someone will come alongside us and tell us about quiet times, tell us about reading the Word and about prayer, and help us find a church if we don't come to faith in a church. Help us find a good church.
All right, time for one last question. This is from Monty, and Monty says, is the outer darkness like Protestant purgatory?
No. How was that? So to make a longer answer to that, Monty, it's not...
Purgatory is where you go to be cleansed of your sins so that you can finally be saved.
After so many thousands of years.
In Roman Catholic thought.
Right.
The outer darkness is nothing like that.
No. The outer darkness, in my opinion, is not a literal place, and I discussed this in a blog as well. The outer darkness is darkness outside the wedding feast, like Matthew 22. It's a banquet, and the joy associated with those who will rule with Christ is going to be missed by those who are in the darkness outside the banquet hall. And so the point is simply that the judgment seat of Christ, some people will not be chosen to rule with Christ, and there will be a sense of shame, 1 John 2:28, and sadness. But because they have glorified bodies, they will instantly get over that. There will be no jealousy. There will be no discontent. And they'll be perfectly happy in the millennial and then on the new earth, the eternal kingdom. And so it's not purgatory, because what it is simply missing out on the joys associated with ruling with Christ. And it's not eternal, except in the sense that forever we will miss out on ruling with Christ, but that doesn't mean we're going to be tormented. There is no torment for people in the kingdom. We're going to have joy forever, even if we're not ruling.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org, that's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback, and if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. We hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we look forward to seeing you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.